Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
It's time for the Silver and Black Today. Scott Gulbranson here with you. The show, as always, powered by our good friends Sam and Ash. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. If you're looking for an injury attorney, look no further. Sam and Ash, both good friends of mine. I'm not just saying that. That isn't like something that they wrote for me and said, hey, say that you're friends. Sam and Ash are good, close, personal friends. If I have any issues, that's who I call. I call no one else because they care. They're part of Raider Nation. They care about you. So thanks to them as well. As our other partners here, attorney Michael Troiano, TroianoVegasLaw.com, the local 872, the men and women who built Allegiant Stadium, Tommy White, of course, good friend of the show and also huge supporter of Raider Nation and Raider Nation Radio. Can't thank them enough. So thanks to them for their support, continued support as we move along here. Okay, well, it is an off day in the NFL. It's usually kind of what we would call in the business a slow day, but plenty to talk about. We want to talk about the Raiders again. Still dealing with Sunday out, you know, just the kind of outpouring of, I would say, praise for the Raiders despite losing. It's amazing. The Raiders lose a big, big game on national TV, and they're still a story. People, yes, of course, are talking about Patrick Mahomes and his comebacks and all that kind of stuff, and that's true. But I'm watching NFL Network in the mornings. I'm listening to other radio. I'm listening and watching online the big media outlets. Everybody's talking about the Raiders. Everybody's talking about Derek Carr. So lots to be thankful for this Thanksgiving week in Raider Nation. Want to hear what you guys are thankful for. I'm going to challenge you that today, actually. Oh, by the way, my good co-host, my good friend Q Myers, will not be with us today. He flew back to Texas from here in Las Vegas this morning. And, of course, it is a holiday week, so travel can be dicey. So Q is stuck, I think, somewhere between the Bay Area and Austin, Texas, on a plane right now. So he won't be with us, but he'll be with us back tomorrow. And so we're going to go it solo today, which is fine. But if you're looking for Q, he'll be back tomorrow. But I want to know from you guys. Okay, so here we are. Raiders lose this game. Have, to me, what's a huge game coming up Sunday in Atlanta. Huge. Big. Now I think as big as Sunday's was. Honestly, because right now the Raiders coming off that emotional, gut-wrenching, as Q called it yesterday, that gut punch of a loss to the Chiefs here at home. Lots to hang their head high, don't get me wrong. But now it's how you react to that loss. We heard Hunter Renfrow on this show yesterday in his 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, which we have every Monday, brought to you by the local 872, as a matter of fact. We heard him talk about it yesterday. He said, hey, listen, you know what? We got to flush that. It's over. And you know Hunter's a straight shooter, good guy. He's going to tell it like it is. But emotions are tough. You know, you have an emotional situation where you lose that game. Okay, so now you got to be able to bounce back. And I don't care what Atlanta's record is. They can put up points. And we know the Raiders' trouble on defense this year. It ain't going to be easy, folks. It's not. So they're going to go down to Atlanta, and they got to beat that team. I think they got to throw the ball. I think John Gruden's got to open up the playbook and let her rip. Derek Carr is just insanely on fire right now. He's just doing so well, and I think they need to cut loose on that one. So we'll talk about that. 702-365-9200 is the number. Get online. I'll get to you. Got plenty of time for calls today. But I also want to ask you guys a question when you call in. Since it is Thanksgiving, we give thanks, right? We give thanks for family, friends, our health, especially during these times. If you're healthy and you're staying healthy, that's a great thing. Make sure you continue to do that. Be safe out there. But we want to hear what you're thankful for when it comes to the Raiders. They're 6-4. Could very easily be 7-3. What are you thankful for? Number one, this Raiders team. And number two, because you're a Raiders fan, why are you thankful? Share with us some memories. You know, the last couple hours, JT said something very profound on his show, and I think it's very true, something that someone told me when I was a very young man. Said, hey, memories are what life are made of. Memories are so important. As he did that amazing show last week for Ricky, and who passed away, of course, Ricky Ricardo. And you guys shared all those memories, and then he shared some memories of his own from 20 years ago. Today, as a matter of fact, being in New Orleans and the event he had down there. So share some of your Raider memories. Why are you thankful that you're a member of Raider Nation? I want to hear that a little bit today on this Tuesday. Coming up at 2:30, as we do every Tuesday, Jesse Merrick, our good friend from News 3 Las Vegas, covers the Raiders every single day for the TV station here, knows the Raiders inside out. He's going to be with us. We'll talk to him a little bit about the kind of fallout of the loss on Sunday and then look ahead to Sunday's game as well. At the top of the 3 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by my teammate here at Raider Nation Radio, and that is Clay Baker. He hosts our morning show along with Mike Pritchard. We're going to talk to him as well, get his take, and kind of the mood of Raider Nation at this point after the Chiefs' loss heading into the Falcons game. Because I'll tell you, I said it yesterday numerous times, the loss, like you don't want to feel good about a loss. But I think Raider Nation doesn't like the loss, but they feel good about their team. I think that's the difference. It's not a moral victory. There are no moral victories. He keeps saying that over and over and again. But I will tell you, it's just a different feel. People feel different. Hunter Renfro said yesterday, this 6-4 team is much different than last year's team, who was 6-4 at the same time after 10 games. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, COVID starts to run through the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens, again, losing players today as they head into a crucial game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC side. They are in big trouble. They're going to be without some folks. You also have Lamar Jackson struggling. I didn't realize this till I read this morning. Lamar Jackson, through 10 games this year, is only one game over 300 yards. I think last year he had four or five of them. So I would love to hear your thoughts on Lamar Jackson, too. Some general NFL news as well. The Jaguars also, they're moving virtual because of some COVID positive tests on the defensive side. So the COVID stuff is really starting to come up across the NFL. It hit the Raiders hard and hit them early and it hit them often. But now it's starting to spread throughout the NFL, and you're starting to see some teams as you get to crunch time here towards playoff time, you're seeing of these teams getting impacted. And so there's a possibility the Steelers-Ravens game, although it's not at this point going to be rescheduled or moved, there is a possibility that that could be moved to a different time slot or something. We'll figure that out as well. But share your thoughts with me. Thankful for being part of Raider Nation. I also want to hear, if you didn't call in yesterday, we had a ton of calls yesterday about this loss to the Chiefs. How did you feel about it? What was your impression? We'll take your call, 702-365-9200. Jesse Merrick and Clay Baker coming up later. And then we'll finish the show with Vinny Bonsignor, as we always do. We'll get the latest from him, too. Some good news. He tweeted out just a little while ago, no new positive tests for the Raiders. Corey Littleton, Cleland Furl, and LaMarcus Joyner look like they could be coming off COVID pretty soon. We might know tomorrow. We don't have definitive on that yet, but it's looking good for their return, hopefully for the Atlanta game, so we'll see a little more of that. All right, we'll go out on the Raider Nation hotline to our first caller. It's Ruben. Ruben here in Vegas. Ruben, it's Scott. What's going on, man? What are you up to today?
Not much, man. Just working, getting ready to end my work day here in the Las Vegas Valley. A loss is a loss, man. I'm tired of these participation trophies, moral victory stuff. We lost. Plain and simple.
No doubt.
On to the next game. We got Atlanta. Let's not take them for granted. We got a 10 a.m. kickoff, so we're looking forward for that. But as being thankful, man, first and foremost, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful that I have a job. I've been very lucky. A lot of people in this valley have been laid off in the casino industry. I'm not one of them, thank God. You know, I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful, man, you know, the Raiders organization with Dane, Davis, and Coach Gruden, man. I mean, they're bringing – I've been a Raider fan all my life, man. And out of all my life, we've only had a couple of winning seasons that can count probably on one hand. But overall, man, they're bringing the brand back, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm just thankful for that, man. Like, you know, with all the pandemic stuff going on, it's good to hear positive stuff on Raider Nation Radio. Thanks to you guys at Lotus also. I mean – it makes my day a lot smoother because all I see is sports talk.
Yeah.
And it just makes, you know, my day easier, especially with everything going on. But I'm just very thankful, man, for just the good stuff. And want to wish you, your family, Q, and everybody at Lotus a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. And let's kick this virus's butt, guys. Come on.
There you go, Ruben. Let me ask you a question, too, because I agree with you. A loss is a loss, right? It's done with. But when you look at last year, remember last year at this time, the Raiders were 6-4. They're 6-4 again. For me, in covering the team, it feels so much different than the 6-4 last year. Do you feel the same?
Yes, I do. I mean, honestly, last year was last year, but I just honestly feel there was something behind closed doors within the team going on. Mm. That they kind of just probably quit, man. You know, these guys get paid a lot of money, and, you know, sometimes just, like I said, whatever happens behind closed doors, all this anthem with the flag and all that stuff that was going on, I think had something to do with it. And it's just, you know, they cleaned house a little bit, different players on the team, you know, and, yeah, I do feel it different. You know, they're an exciting team. Like I said, we got a lot of weapons, man. I just wish we could play a little bit better defense. You know, like you guys would say, stay in the top 15 maybe. Mm-hmm. And we got the weapons, man. We got the weapons. We, you know, I'm excited, man. I've always been a Raider fan. I always get pumped up, and I love my Raiders. Win, lose, or tie, Raiders till I die.
Well, Ruben, man, thanks again for the well wishes, and same to you and your family. Have a great, great Thanksgiving. And a reminder, too, Ruben's a reminder that, and he mentioned Raider Nation Radio and the positive news and the things we're able to talk about here on the station. And I'll tell you what, it's Raider Nation Radio. You guys own Raider Nation. You are Raider Nation. Without the listeners, without you guys and the positivity and the criticism when it needs to come and all that stuff, without you guys, we're not here, and Raider Nation is what it is. It's made of people. I know you guys are a big family, and it feels good to be part of that. So thanks for the call, Ruben. We really appreciate it. All right, your chance to get on the line, 702-365-9200. By the way, the Raiders, did you know the Raiders currently have a four-game losing streak against the Falcons? Now, they haven't played since 2016. The last time they played, the Raiders lost to the Falcons 35-28. The last time they beat the Falcons, you ready for this? November 26th, 2000. So it's been 20 years since the Raiders have beat the Falcons. Now, of course, they don't play a lot, them being in the NFC South. But nonetheless, this is a game that the Raiders need badly, I believe. You know, it's not going to ruin anything, but you don't want to string together losses. You want to string together wins, of course. They had the nice three-game winning streak. They had a mini two-game winning streak earlier in the season. And I think it's just so important for a team, especially a team with young players that the Raiders have, to come back from a loss, especially an emotional loss like that, and get back to winning ways. And they have a good chance to do that. I think they will do it, but it's coming up quick. All right, we're going to go back on the phone lines. Fabian, our man, is with us, and he is on the air here on Raider Nation Radio on Silver and Black today. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, I heard you were lonely today, so I figured I'd give you a call.
I got Chris Chapman, the Magnum Man, here keeping me company.
well, you know, yeah, a loss is a loss. In comparison to last year, we got rugs this year. That's the big kicker. That's the big hope that we can move. But what I really want to talk about, those lousy calls by the refs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's see. Let me go at my list here.
You mean the false start that never was called? I mean, there's so many of them, Fabian.
Well, to me, the biggest one, the very first touchdown.
Yeah.
When Jacobs is reaching the ball over to break the play, there's an obvious hand in his grill. And that wasn't called?
Yeah. No, I mean, you look at the officiating. I think out of all the year, now the last couple games, there's been some really questionable calls that went against the Raiders. Overall, this year, I think they've actually had a pretty level playing field until the last couple games. The Chiefs game, though, there were a handful of calls, I thought, Fabian, that really stuck out where you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, a good example of that, the Arnett PI versus the PI that wasn't called against Edwards.
Yeah.
In the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, Arnett's like an ant to an elephant. I mean, come on, really? Arnett's going to interfere with Kelce? Really? Please. Edwards. That was another one. It's like, you know, like ESPN says, come on, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, but I think the Raiders, I mean, you look at the game, and there's no question – that those calls could have, should have gone the other way, right? But at the same time, the Raiders still should have won the game. In my view, this team, I think next year in the same situation, wins that game. Experience, the ability to kind of persevere, some improvements on defense. And I think that's why the Chiefs want no part, no part of the Raiders come the playoffs, because the Raiders match up well against them. They just do. And the one thing that disappointed me, even though here I am saying I think that the Raiders really need to throw the ball a lot when they're in Atlanta, you know, the Raiders had a distinct advantage running the ball against Kansas City was weak against the run, and somehow they shut it down. I don't think that was the offensive line's problem. I just think things, the way the sequencing went during the game, the Raiders just never got Jacobs and Booker going enough to make it a difference. That third quarter, the beginning of that third quarter, that first Chiefs possession, man, that just wore, I think, that Raider defense down. It was a significant part of the game that I don't think a lot of people talk about.
But there's something else that happened in the third quarter, or I should say didn't happen in the third quarter, that happened in the first game.
What's that?
The Raiders didn't score any points.
Well, yeah, points, yes.
You look at the first game, the Raiders scored in every single quarter. This game, no points, because one of it, you know, time of possession, KC pulled a Gruden on us. They took over almost 9 minutes. But to me, it's like, I know JT was screaming on Twitter, attacked, and I'm screaming with him saying, why aren't we throwing the ball?
Yeah, and
you know, let's get I understand we want to chew the clock up against them, but hey, we haven't scored any points in this third quarter. Let's go for it. Let's get some points and then get more points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. I thought Coach Gruden did a really great job of calling that game overall, but there were some points, and he admitted it in his post-game press conference and then in yesterday's press conference, that he wishes he was a little more aggressive. And I think in that first Chiefs game, one of those kind of seminal moments from this season thus far was when the Raiders started to get a little conservative, and you saw that cutaway of Derek Carr on the sideline saying to Coach Gruden, do you trust me? Do you trust me?
Yeah.
And I think for whatever reason, that didn't happen in Sunday's game. And I think that that's something that Gruden is dealing with. And I think he might almost, I mean, based on the actions on the field, I think Gruden's almost there. He almost trusts them all enough that he's going to let it loose. And I think this weekend in Atlanta would be a good time to do it, because they really need to go on the road and have a big win. But Fabian, listen, man, have a great Thanksgiving with your family. And thanks, as always, for calling in.
And you too. And hopefully you will get home safely.
Yes.
And you enjoy your time with that full house you got.
I appreciate that so much, my man. Yeah, Q will be back tomorrow. We'll have some fun with him on Wednesday. Full show tomorrow, we'll tell you about later. But thank you, as always, Fabian, for being with us. But, you know, that's the thing. I think Coach Gruden, last year when he didn't have the offense that he has now and Derek Carr wasn't playing at this amazing level that he's playing at now, he was more conservative. Now he's got everything there. This offense, I mean, if you look at this offense, the fact that they've put up 30-plus points in every game except a couple shows you they have the tools. They have Derek Carr creating with his feet. He's doing everything he needs to do, okay? He's quieted the haters because he's performing at an elite level. If you don't think he's performing at an elite level, then you're just caught up in your dislike of Derek Carr. And I'm not saying you have to be a Carr fan. I'm just telling you, I go by what I see on the field. I go by the result. And this game, I wrote about it up on silverandblacktoday.com in my column after the game. I said, look, he was near perfect, and he was. And we had a caller yesterday say, oh, well, he floats the ball too much. You know what? The receivers, if you talk to the receivers, we talked to Hunter Renfrow about it many times before. They like it. They see the ball. And again, the one interception he had at the end of the game, I don't even look at that. But if you look at how he's been throwing the ball, he throws the ball like that and it doesn't get picked off, because he throws it, he leads his receiver and gives him enough space, enough under the ball that they can get to it, and they like it because they can identify and see the ball better. So I don't buy into that he floats the ball too much. I think Derek Carr is, you know, like any good leader would do, he's not making it about him. But where would they be if Derek Carr was playing at 50% of what he's playing at now? They would not be 6-4, I guarantee you that. He's taken that team and he's led it, and he's done it on the field. He's done everything they've asked him to do. And sure, he makes mistakes. Every player makes mistakes. I mean, you saw Tom Brady last night. Yes, he might be over the hill, but you saw the mistakes he made last night. You saw mistakes Jeff Goff made last night. You saw mistakes that Ben Roethlisberger of the undefeated so far Steelers made on Sunday when he threw a bad pick. Everybody does it. But I will tell you, he's been great overall, and he continues to lead that team, and they need him to. I mean, you need your quarterback, especially with this young team. You need your quarterback to lead the way. He is the general on the field, and Derek Carr right now is like General Patton out there on the field. Okay, we're up against our first break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. 702-365-9200 is the number. And then coming up at 2:30, Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas will join us. We'll talk to him about the Raiders, where they're at, and how big of a game this is going down to Atlanta. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Back here on the Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. Back here, Scott Gulbranson. Q Myers is on a flight back home, so he is unavailable today. He'll be back tomorrow with me before the holiday. We are off Thursday. It's going to be a nonstop day on the radio of all NFL games. So we will be spending Thursday Thanksgiving with our families. And then we'll be back on Friday. So we will be here Friday live on Silver and Black Today. Q and I will be here. So plan for that. We'll be able to talk going into that game. By the way, just a sneak peek, tomorrow we will be joined by John Kincaid, who hosts the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio National. John is based in Atlanta, had a long time local talk show there as well. He's covered the Falcons for 20 years. So we'll get some inside skinny from my good friend John Kincaid tomorrow, as well as welcome Evan Grote, who usually is with us on Thursday. He hosts Just Pod Baby. He just released a new podcast yesterday with our senior NFL columnist, Mo Moten. So go check that out. Just Pod Baby's part of the Silver and Black Today Media Group, part of our family here. So go check them out wherever you get your podcasts as well. We'll have a couple other surprises tomorrow before we send everybody home for turkey or whatever you do, tamales, whatever you do on Thanksgiving for a great, great holiday that everybody should sit back and reflect on, especially this year. It's been a tough year for everybody, and be thankful for what we do have, especially if you have your health. So do that. By the way, we are thankful, too, that Chris, the Magna Man Chapman, is back, our engineer producer here at Silver and Black Today. He was over in Japan with his wife. For what? For 4 weeks or 5 weeks?
It was about 25 days. 25 days. So about 3.5 weeks.
It seemed like 3 months.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't seem like 3 months for me. It seemed like about 10 days for me. So went by quick.
But you came back yesterday, Chris. And the one thing, you know, with the Raiders and in the States dealing with COVID, and now we're getting told again that it's surging again and the governor puts new restrictions here and all this kind of stuff. You were talking yesterday in the hallway here about being in Japan in COVID. Talk about the difference there, because it's different. I mean, they're dealing with it too, like we are.
Yeah, it's kind of wild because they were expected to get just a surge. Remember, really, really early, they had that cruise ship that had about 800 people on it that were sick. And, you know, people were really anticipating Japan to just get hammered. They have a very old population.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the issues that they're facing, that they just have a generation that when they die, there's not going to be enough people to replace them. But I went to a couple sporting events there. I went to a Japanese League baseball game, which is always a good time. It was a little different. They had 50% capacity. It was in Yokohama, the Bay Stars against my favorite team, Hanshin Tigers. And it was weird because normally if you watch the highlights from a Japanese League game any other year, there's lots of singing, lots of drums,
horns.
It's wild. They allowed 50%. They wanted to get the capacity up to 80% because they're trying to experiment for the Olympics. It's like, great, I was part of an experiment. but they have temperature checks when you go in, which I think is something that they're doing here too.
Yeah.
Everyone has to wear a mask. They have cameras in the stadium that apparently can see who's not wearing them. I don't know if that's accurate or not. That's what I was told. No cheering. They're not allowed to cheer.
Because you're exhaling and doing all kinds of stuff. Interesting.
Yeah. And they what I found to be interesting is they had when the game ended, they only allow a section at a time to go. So they rope off a certain section and they're like, "Okay, you guys exit, go out this door." Which I found weird because they don't have that to like go get drinks or to go get something to eat. They have the beer girl walking around. Now, the weirdest thing was I went to a soccer game. It's actually 2 weeks ago on Wednesday over there. So just about 12 hours. It'll be 2 weeks exactly. Again, singing, they didn't have any. What's weird is they had the chants and the songs that the fans
sing. Pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded, and they played them over the loudspeaker, and there was a guy with a drum playing along, and people were allowed to clap, but people couldn't sing along. Which is weird because I went to a game in January and it was the total opposite. I mean, there was no pre-recorded anything. Everybody was singing and doing their thing. But I was talking to JT yesterday, actually, and we talked about it. Going into a restaurant, a lot of temperature checks, but every store you go into has hand sanitizer. It doesn't matter if it's 7-Eleven, if it's Macy's. They don't have Macy's, but I'm just being hypothetical.
Department store.
Walmart, whatever. Yeah. Hand sanitizer at the entrance to the store. Most restaurants are operating at full capacity. They have tables spaced out, but almost every restaurant I went into had full capacity. Now what they're doing is they have air purifiers in almost all these restaurants, and I guess they have these special air filters that I read Germany was going to start putting in public buildings, which apparently cycle out
the virus.
The virus. Now I was nervous about flying, especially
of course
a 10-hour flight overseas.
But your flight was empty.
There were nine people on my flight from Los Angeles to Tokyo, which was bizarre as
Private plane.
Yeah, basically I had a whole section. They tested me. I needed to have a negative test before I left.
Yeah.
And when I landed, I needed to have a negative test. So I had to do a test when I landed. Five people checked my paperwork from the States. I had some issues with immigration. They weren't satisfied with something, but I had a rapid test. My results in an hour, obviously negative. It was really strange because there was a girl who I was talking to, and she's a Japanese citizen. She lives in a different city. She doesn't live in Tokyo. She had to quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel in Tokyo, a special hotel, before she was allowed to travel to her home city. I wasn't allowed to use public transportation for 2 weeks, not allowed to go in any stores or anything. I did exercise, went outside, did a couple walks, avoided people, all that stuff. 2 weeks went by. Life was normal. I mean, other than wearing a mask, everything.
And everybody's working. They're just wearing masks.
Yeah. My wife works from home. Her job has allowed her to work from home. But like you get on the train.
Full.
I mean, it's like people, life is normal.
And
the crazy thing is they never locked down. They never did a lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's debate on whether lockdowns work.
Yeah,
but
now
they have
some restrictions as far as like restaurants and bars. They want them closing at certain hours, but never did a full-scale lockdown.
I did find out what your immigration issue was. They found out you were a Jets fan.
Yes, yes.
Yes, that was the problem.
We can have that conversation in 2 weeks. We've already had the discussion. What's going to happen.
Jets week will be fun around here. But let's get back on the phone lines. Dan is calling. Oh, no, he's gone. Sorry, Dan. If you're listening, you can call back. We'll get you back on, man. We got into our Japanese story. But you know, you talk about the COVID stuff. We're seeing it spread in the NFL. The Raiders have been through that. I was at the Raider facility this morning testing again, my 100th and something test. And they were out there. Players have the day off, so there was a lot of players going in and getting their test. But for all the criticisms that the Raiders have gotten for being lax, at least in some areas, again, every time I go there, the people doing testing, the organization and what they're doing from a testing perspective, I've seen it. It's pretty remarkable, even going into this holiday week, because we still got to go get tested on Thanksgiving and all that stuff to keep our stuff positive so we can go to practice. But it'll be interesting. All right, we're going to go out to our good friend Rossi in Australia. Rossi, what's going on, man?
Happy birthday, my friend. It's Wednesday here, so you can start celebrating when you get off of air.
I like that, man. You can give me 2 days to celebrate my birthday.
Absolutely. It's the way I celebrate, especially as I'm born in England, so the same thing for me. It's a celebration week. That way.
You know what? It's funny you say that real quick, Rossi. Before you say anything else, because every time you call, you're from Australia, and we call you an Aussie. But I could tell from your accent that you're from the UK. Where are you?
Yeah, it's actually how I became a Raiders fan, and it's because where I lived in England, it's a place called Canterbury in the southeast.
Yeah, sure.
And on a on a Sunday, I used to listen to Armed Forces Radio as a kid coming out of Germany. So I was picking up what we call the 6 o'clock and the 9 o'clock games in the UK, which is 6 p.m. early and late game, 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. game. So that's how I became a big NFL fan and a big Raiders fan, is just actually listening on the radio back in the 80s.
That's awesome.
Really positive around the record, 6-4. Predictions pretty much had us here anyway. Doesn't really matter how we got here. But there's definitely a much better vibe around the and positivity around the team. The losses are close losses. I know there's no moral victories. Your record is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you could make an argument where we had opportunities in those four losses to actually turn them into wins. And based on last year's, there were blowouts. We just looked horrible. There were some really bad defensive decisions. And also DC wasn't playing at the level that he's playing at. And can we just stop with the whole Gruden still not loving DC?
Can we just
put that to bed right now?
I agree.
He's married to him.
I agree 100%. And by the way, too, that's where I said with Gruden trusting the offense, I don't think it's about Carr, even though Carr, I brought up the Carr in Kansas City in October saying, do you trust me? And I think that's not about Derek Carr. That's just about Gruden going with his gut instinct and offense in certain situations being more conservative. In fact, I'm watching the Rams game last night, Rossi, against the Buccaneers, and I saw a couple plays because Sean McVay, you know, he's very close with John Gruden, came out of there, was a protege of his, and I see him do the same thing. It's a philosophy. And the way the NFL has changed, I think John Gruden, for all the criticisms that he gets for being stuck in the 90s and all that, I don't agree with it at all. I think he's shown incredible growth as a play caller. He's gotten much more creative. Is he Andy Reid yet? No. Okay. But I think he's getting closer and closer because the NFL has changed and you have to be more open. And that's why I'm calling for them, I think, to use the pass more against Atlanta, who's not very good on defense. And Atlanta's going to throw the ball, and Atlanta and Matt Ryan are going to score. So I think you're going to have to throw the ball a little more. You have so many weapons there. Why not target them?
I completely and utterly agree. I think that if you look at what one of Gruden's, let's say, restrictions when he first came back was that the players, the system that he wants to play, never, he didn't have the cattle on the ranch to do that. He's now got that.
Yep.
This is Gruden 101 football. It's pound, over the top. And that's the reason for Ruggs. And we can get into the whole Ruggs conversation about is he being utilized. I actually see some growth in him. To your point yesterday, the Chiefs basically said, Ruggs isn't going to beat us.
Yeah,
That's what they said.
Right.
Renfro, fine, go over. Waller, fine, do whatever. But Ruggs is that home run hit, and they see it every day on the practice field with Tyreek Hill, and they know that there's that potential. And as I said yesterday, we've actually got to really respect the Chiefs from a certain point of view to go, we need to keep Carr off the field because he is shredding us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They put the game plan in that we needed to exercise at the same time. And so that long drive at the start of the third quarter really did show that as well, because that's not Andy Reid. That's Andy Reid coming out and making adjustments. That's not Andy Reid going, Tyreek, just run really fast in a straight line, and the freak that is Patrick Mahomes will throw you the ball.
No, I agree, Rossi, and thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it. And thank you for the birthday wishes. I do appreciate that as well, and I'm sure we'll talk to you real soon. Okay, it's time to get to our guest. Jesse Merrick from News 3 here in Las Vegas covers the Raiders daily. Jesse, I'll tell you what, you know, the fallout of the Chiefs game, I think we're almost past that, but you were there with us watching the game. It's unfortunate that fans weren't there, but overall, a great game. But what are the Raiders for you? What do the Raiders take out of this game that gives them a better shot of going into Atlanta and winning on Sunday?
Hey, first of all, what's up, man? Happy belated. I didn't even realize it was your birthday. I'm a little late to the party here.
Oh, no, it's tomorrow, but Rossi's in Australia, so he's already in. He's on Wednesday, so he's wishing me a birthday since he's already at my birthday, and I'm not there yet.
Ah, nice, nice. But, anyway, so, I mean, you know, the biggest take this one was took the defending champs for the wire and gave them all they had. You know, I think they kind of proved to the national media what we've all kind of known is that the Raiders are a pretty good team. And they can play with anybody. It's just kind of that down the stretch there, what's going to happen, you know? But after that game, I don't think anybody in the league wants to play the Raiders. You know, in some years, teams would probably look at them and say, all right, let's chalk it up to an easy win. After that, I think a lot of teams are like, okay, the Raiders are for real. We got to look out for these guys. And obviously, it's a heartbreaker. But now I think that's where you get that focus and you decide, okay, are we going to be the team that, you know, that was a Super Bowl, the Chiefs tried to kind of make it out to be with the whole victory lap stuff and all that? Or was it, hey, we lost to the defending champs, we played a heck of a game, we got to back on track because we have an opportunity to do something big here and, you know, get into the playoffs. It's kind of crazy that they're 6-4 again as they were last year. A really interesting scenario to be in right now. It's just a matter of finish.
Yeah, and you know, covering the team last year, Jesse, as you did as well, you know, I keep trying to tell. I was actually talking to my wife. She said, oh, they have the same record as they did last year. I said, yeah, but it's just different because you just have, even around the organization and talking to the players and talking to the coaches, even though we're doing it virtually now, you just get the sense there's a lot more confidence. There's a lot more vision here of where they want to be and what they need to do. Last year, it was almost like they were caught by surprise that they were 6-4.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, this team, the confidence that they do have, like, it's through the roof, especially for Derek Carr. How can it not be with the year that he's had, especially coming off of that showing where Gruden said it? You know, he was near perfect, and I think he opened up a lot of guys. Rossi talked about it as well, about the fact that, like, hey, let's retire this whole Gruden and Carr bit, you know, that's been played out far too long. You know, and so when you got a quarterback that's feeling it like he is, that's going to permeate through the team and give everybody else confidence. And, you know, I think there was still, you know, when Mahomes got the ball on that last drive, you know, there was some uneasiness about what was going to happen. Most people figured, okay, it's up to a loss because he's just that dude. But at the same time, you still think, okay, hey, the Raiders are going to figure it out a way to get this done. And it just came up just short. But, again, the confidence that they've got, it starts with their car. And it runs through everybody else. And again, it's a young team, and that's a scary thing when you get a young kind of confidence as well.
Jesse Marek from News 3 Las Vegas is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Jesse, I think, you know, I hear a lot of the fans after the game talking about, geez, if our defense, the defense played this, they didn't do that, they didn't get a pass rush. All true, okay? But at this point, you're through 10 games, you kind of are who you are. And I know the Raiders made a couple signs with Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley. Let's see if he can pass a physical. But they're looking for help there. But at this point in the season, like I said, they are who they are. So you have to look at it from a perspective, in my view, that you just have to let your offense loose, and you're going to have to, in some of these games, and I think the game in Atlanta might be one of those, you're going to have to let your offense go. You're going to have to open it up because you're going to have to outscore people at this point. You have to get more bodies on defense. You have to get better, but that's not going to be addressed this season.
You got to give them credit for trying. You know, they're trying to find pass rushers any way they can, but there's a reason that those guys are available. You know, I mean, yeah, Beasley's got 37.5 career sacks, but Tennessee was ready to pay him $9 million and let him walk away. I mean, they got rid of him because he didn't do anything for them. Tack McKinley, you know, bounced around, you know, to the different waivers. Nobody could clear him. You know, we got to wait and see what his injury status is. So I'm with you there. You just got to be this team that's going to let it rip and be what you were against the Chiefs in these last two games and even against the Broncos. In terms of putting up points, you know, you got to be that team that just knows, hey, the defense is going to be leaky, going to give up some points, going to give up a whole lot of yards, but we just got to outscore teams and do it that way. And then when it comes time, you use Josh Jacobs, you ground it out, you know, and grind the clock out and leave that other offense on the sidelines. And the one thing that stayed constant with Atlanta is Julio Jones and now Calvin Ridley, but also Matty Ice. I mean, those guys, you know what they're going to do. You know they're able to put up points. It's just a matter of, you know, who can score more, as cliche as it is. So I think let it rip. You know, let's start seeing Ruggs get more involved. Let's keep throwing it up to Aguilar. Let's keep, you know, hitting Waller, Deacon, and Duncan and, you know, getting your chances with him in the red zone and see where that leads. You know, at this point, you know, you got to let it rip because, like you mentioned, the defense is what it is. You know they're going to give up points. You know they're going to give up yards. It's just a matter of if they can be that bend but maybe not break once they get to the red zone defense.
Yeah, and not, now the defense did in that three-game win streak, and I know they weren't playing the Chiefs. I get that, okay? And the Cleveland Browns game had the weather. I get that too. But that defense had done better. It had progressed. I'm not saying it was good. I'm saying it progressed, particularly against the run. But I'll tell you, one thing that we haven't heard a lot about after the game, and I think is a big deal, and I want to get your point of view on, is Clee Ferrell was not there. He might not rack up sacks. He might not get the sexy numbers, but what he's done is he's really helped the Raiders contain the run and helped the pass rush a little bit. So they missed him greatly, didn't they?
Yeah, they definitely did. I mean, after the first meeting with the Chiefs, Coach Gruden said that was his best game as a pro, best game as a member of the Raiders. So obviously they missed him in that situation. You know, he's a guy that I know gets a lot of crap from a lot of people, but he played really well in that game and has kind of come on the last couple weeks here and really turned it up a bit. So losing him was big. You know, I know Littleton also gets a lot of flack. Well, he's still a starter. You're missing a starter right there. And then with Joyner as well, you're missing a guy in the secondary. And I know he's been suspect in coverage at times. But to do what they did against the Chiefs, missing three starters, is impressive. And I think when you get Clee back, going up against some of the teams that you're going up against, he's going to be that guy, you know, your bookends there with him and Matt. And that's the Raiders have shown they want to grow with those guys and give those guys the opportunity to succeed. And, you know, let Clee and Max let it rip, man, and see what happens with them. Because I do think Clee is that guy that is very underrated, gets a lot of hate that he shouldn't necessarily get. You know, people want gaudy numbers from him. I get it, he was a number four overall pick. And you, me, and Q have talked about it plenty of times before. But he's that guy that, you know, he's going to go in there and, you know, be more of a run-stopping type of guy rather than the flashy pass rusher.
Yeah, and Jesse, before I let you go, too, one of the things I want to touch on, because I don't think it's a player issue. Like, I'm not being critical of the player, and I understand that it takes time to develop a relationship and a rhythm and all that stuff. Henry Ruggs didn't get a target to the fourth quarter. I think with that kind of talent, you need to have him come along. And Hunter always tells us on his segment here on Mondays, look, I don't care if I get one target or if I get 15 targets, whatever I got to do. But don't you think that there's something there? I mean, to get the kid experience, don't you need to start to do something to maybe get him a little more involved?
Yeah, I mean, I will say teams are shading to him and, you know, putting guys over the top and safety help over the top because of that speed. He's already garnered that respect. But at the end of the day, you can only be a decoy for so long and you can only attract that attention for so long. So get the kid the ball in space, you know, hit him with some slant. That's a lot of what he did at Alabama. He was that guy that would catch a slant and take it 80 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Find ways, manufacture ways to get him the ball. You don't want to force it, obviously. That's not Derek Carr's game. He's going to be real, you know, safe with the football and take those chances of when he's going to do it. But I think you really do have to just figure out a way to get him the ball because he is a game breaker with that speed, and you got him to be kind of like your Tyreek Hill. So you got to do what the Chiefs do and manufacture ways to get him touches. It's as simple as that. You can't keep making excuses that, you know, he's covered or this and that. Like, your job as a play caller is to get your guys in positions to succeed. So you got to do it with him because he has that elite speed.
Absolutely. Jesse Merrick, News 3, Las Vegas. Jesse, I will see you at practice tomorrow, my man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks again. Jesse Merrick, News 3, Las Vegas, covers the Raiders. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. 702-365-9200. Do the Raiders need to, as Jesse just said, target Henry Ruggs, even if it's not vertical? Maybe it's some slant patterns like he did at Alabama. Is it some other bubble screens? Whatever it is to get the ball in the kid's hand, let me know what you think. 702-365-9200. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. We're back. We're talking Raiders football on this Thanksgiving week as the Raiders get set to go down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. And, of course, you know, the Falcons not having a great year, lost their head coach, and Boy, I'll tell you what, this has danger in it, because I think that this game, if you look at where the Raiders are and where the Falcons are, remember, the Falcons are a top 10 offense, number 9, 382 yards per game compared to the Raiders 369. This is not an offense that you can sleep on. Their pass offense is second in the NFL right now. So they put up 4 points. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, those guys, they can get the ball, though Jones has a hamstring injury, so we'll see if he goes. But if you look at that now, but you look at the defense, total defense, the Falcons are yielding up 406 yards a game. Wow. This is where the Raiders were earlier in the season, right? The Raiders now ranked 23rd, Falcons 29. That's why I'm saying you need to rely. It's not a slight on Josh Jacobs in the running game, because you know how I feel about Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker, both very good backs, both important to the success of the Raiders. But this team will put points on the board. You're going to have to put points back. And to me, that's where you're going to have to, I think, open up the offense a little more. And why not? Look what Derek Carr is doing. I don't hear any of the Derek Carr haters anymore. Where are you? And I'm not talking about the people who said, I just want Derek Carr to prove it that he can do it. Those people are convinced, they see he's doing it on the field, and they're like, okay, so be it. My team's doing well, so I'm happy. But those of you who just have this incredible piece in your DNA where you cannot like Derek Carr no matter what he does, I don't hear from you. Derek Carr, by the way, week 11, Pro Football Focus had a 96 grade for Derek Carr. It's the highest grade of any quarterback in any week thus far in the NFL. 96. The previous high was 94.6 in week 1 from somebody you might have heard of, Aaron Rodgers against the Vikings. Deshaun Watson had a 93.5 this past week too, the same week as Derek Carr. Ryan Tannehill, 92.3 against the Bills in week 5, and Patrick Mahomes in week 8 against the Jets with a 91.7. And it's the fifth highest grade that PFF has given to a quarterback. Fifth highest since 2015. All right. Remember, Carr finished the game this week 23 of 31, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, a passer rating of 119. Okay. If you look at that passer rating, it's the seventh game this season that Derek Carr has had a passing rating over 100. You just can't beat that. I don't hear any of the haters. I don't hear them calling 702-365-9200, because I don't think you have anything to say. Because Derek Carr's on fire. He's leading that team. He's leading the Raiders, and he's a big, if not the biggest, reason that they're 6-4 in my view right now. Okay, we're going to take the top of the hour break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Clay Baker from the Pritch and Clay morning show here on on Raider Nation Radio. We're going to talk to Clay too about the mood of all of you out there. Since Clay gets the morning calls, there's kind of two shifts here. The morning callers don't necessarily call in the afternoon. So we're going to talk, we're going to compare notes and see where Raider Nation is at with this team at 6-4. You're here with Scott Gilbranson on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.